Jameson caught C.T. Posey just as he was closing his office and got the $4,000 in cash out of the big safe. He shoved it into the deep pocket of his coat. Then he strapped his six-shooter on over the coat, just in case. It wasn't far to the saloon, so he unsaddled his horse and turned him loose in the company yard. Then he walked over the tracks and down on the other side. None of Dodge City looked very polished or respectable, but here was the seamiest part of it. Raw frame saloons and dance halls, other shapes built of nothing more than sod, a few even dug into the ground, only the top half reaching above ground level. Yonder he saw a woman standing watching him, the yellow flicker of lamplight behind her outlining her in a doorway.
Woo-hoo! Hey, cowboy!
A lantern hung on either side of the door at the Queen of the Arkansas, yellow flame licking at the wick. The nearly flat sod roof was only waist high to Jameson, most of the building being dug into the ground. He thought idly what would happen to this place if a sudden cloudburst should send water cascading down the street. It would fill up like a jug. A match suddenly flared, and a man's face glowed as he touched the flame to a cigarette.
You Jameson?
Yes.
Then go on inside. Budge is waiting for you.
Vaguely disturbed, Jameson hesitated a moment, looking through the ground-level windows and seeing light inside. Carefully then, he moved down the warped wooden steps to the sunken doorway. The wall-trapped reek of smoke and whiskey and unwashed bodies slapped him in the face. It reminded him of a wolf den he had crawled into once. This was like it, more den than house. The light was dim, for the owner was stingy with his lanterns. But Jameson easily spotted Adam Bulge's bulk. He sat at a table with another man, his broad back turned to the door. His shirt was soaked with sweat. The other man at the table looked up at Jameson. He was a cheap gambler, Jameson remembered, who went by the name of Frenchie. Dirty, unkempt, he was not in the class with the gamblers who stayed around the bigger places. Budge licked his lips.
Jameson, come on over.
Jameson hesitated with a sudden quickening of alarm. He could see Budge was scared half to death. His hand moved down toward the six-shooter.
Hold it, friend.
Jameson glanced quickly at the bar. The tender held a shotgun aimed straight at him. Frenchie nodded.
Go shut the door, Mick.
The man behind Jameson shoved the door shut and took the bartender's shotgun. Frenchie motioned to Jameson.
Now come on over.
Jameson slowly stepped forward, looking into the muzzle of Frenchie's Derringer, knowing the shotgun was at his back. He felt his six-shooter jerk from the holster. Budge's chin was trembling, so were his hands, placed judiciously on the table where all could see them.
Now, where is it?
Where is what?
The money. You got it. Budge has told us all about it.
Jameson, they're fixing to kill us.
Now, somebody steered you wrong. There isn't any money.
In the back of his mind was a wild hope that when they reached for him to search him, he might grab a gun. So suddenly, he didn't see it. A leather whip or something lashed at his face. He bent over, his hands clawing at the fire which seared his cheeks.
Don't store me around. Where that money?
Jameson made no reply, clenching his teeth against the burn. The lash struck again across the back of his neck.
Sergeant!
Rough hands jerked him around. Through pain-reddened eyes, Jameson saw that the man behind him had set the shotgun down just out of his reach. Hands dug into his coat pockets.
Here it is, Frenchie. Holy smoke! Look at them greenbacks!
For a second then, while they feverishly eyed the money, Jameson thought he might have a chance. He reached for the shotgun, but someone was ready. A gun barrel slanted across his skull, sent him sprawling on the packed dirt floor amid cigarette butts and dried tobacco juice. He lay half-conscious, brain hammering with pain.
Supposed to be 4,000 there.
Count it.
They ran through it and satisfied themselves.
What are we gonna do with them two? Can't have them running loose. Give me the word, Frenchie, and I'll shoot them both.
No, too much noise. Knives just as good and a heap quieter.
Adam Budge's cry helped bring Jameson groping back to consciousness.
Don't do it! I won't tell nobody! Frenchie, I swear it! You can keep the money, only don't do it!
Budge arose, shaking, letting his chair fall back across Jameson's legs. He began to dodge away from the man with the knife.
No, Frenchie! No!
He pushed the table out, trying to keep it between them. Without moving, Jameson sought the shotgun with his eyes. It still stood where it had been, propped against the sod wall. A slim chance, but the only one he had. two men suddenly stood in the door, guns in their hands. In the split second before the guns roared, Jameson recognized Ransom King and saw a wild fever in the man's eyes that was like a look into hell. Jameson grabbed for the shotgun, got it, and rolled over onto his back. He saw the bartender drop the knife and spin away from the force of the first two bullets, then fall, limp as a sack of grain. Frenchie whirled toward the door, bringing up the Derringer. Jameson swung the shotgun around and squeezed the trigger. The impact slammed Frenchie against the wall. He fell forward then and lay crumpled, his fingers convulsively digging into the packed earth. The third man cowered back, raising his hands. Beside King stood a heavy-bodied man with ragged beard, wolf-gray eyes shining in savage pleasure. He turned his six-gun to the third man. He triggered two more bullets into his body after he fell.
That's enough, Trencher.
I reckon it is. He's dead.
Standing there in the heavy, circling cloud of gun smoke, he flexed his gun hand, eyes flicking back and forth among the fallen men, as if hoping one of them might move a little. But they never would again. Jameson pushed up weakly, leaning against the dirt wall and rubbing the back of his head where the gun barrel had struck him.